Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms tonight, Psalm number 5. Psalm number 5, please. We're going to read verse 8 to begin our time together tonight. Psalm number 5, beginning at verse 8. David writes, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make they thy way straight before my face." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you tonight for the evening service on a Wednesday. We thank you for those who have braved the weather and the streets to come out and be with us tonight in the auditorium. I pray you'd bless them for their special effort and their act of love. And I pray you'd bless those who are still coming, get them here safely. We ask that you might speak to the hearts of those who are watching and listening as well, and that by your Holy Spirit, you'd open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of every person, receive the word of God, and that, Lord, you might do your work, and you might help us tonight as we prepare for a new year. We pray your blessing and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Psalm number 5 and verse 8. Before I begin, I don't know how many of you know, but Jenna is in the hospital, and she's got some serious stuff going on, so we need to be praying for her. Doctors need wisdom. I guess they had to bring in a specialist today because they can't figure out what it is. So be praying for her, if you would, please. Okay. Don't forget about baby Titus, too. All right. We are in Psalm number 5, verse 8, and we're on the eve of a new year. And as the scripture says, we know not what shall be on the morrow. We have no idea what 2020 will bring of good or ill. We know not where we will be should we reach the end of the new year. But we'll have to live 2020. And we'll have to live it day by day. There will be decisions to reconnoiter, changes to make, battles to fight, victories to win, defeats to overcome, and the unexpected to face. We can look upon the new year with excitement and anticipation, or you can look on the new year with fear and trepidation. Maybe even the Lord will come. Wouldn't that be nice? However, whatever comes our way, we must experience it, and experience it we will. There are no doubt going to be days of sunshine and cheer, as well as days of darkness and gloom. There will be times to laugh, and there will be times to cry. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, please, chapter 3. God has told us this in His Word. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace." God says there's all kinds of different times that come throughout the year, aren't there? And we will experience many of these different times. But the Bible says there's a time under heaven. It's the purpose of God, and we know not what shall be on the morrow. Whatever the case, we must travel on. Tonight I want to share with you a philosophy of travel, a biblical outlook for navigating 2020 with confidence and assurance. David in this psalm is praying and asking God to lead him. But not just to lead him, but to lead him in the way of righteousness. Did you see that? "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness." And then he says, "Make thy way straight before my face." So David is asking God to lead him, but he's saying, "Lord, I want you to lead me in your way." And he knew this. He knew that God's way was the straight way, and God's way was the righteous way. And David said, that's the way. As I'm traveling, Lord, I'm going to come to places where I'll have to make a decision between this way and that way. I want you to lead me in the straight way. I'll have to make decisions between this way and that way. I want you to lead me in the way of righteousness. And I believe David knows in his own heart that if God doesn't lead him, he'll pick the wrong way. And you and I will do the same thing if we're not careful. We'll choose the wrong way. David in this psalm says that there are many enemies who would like to hinder him and halt him. His enemies wish to get him to stray from the way that is righteous and the way that is straight onto the way that's crooked. David knew that the blessings of God are on the straight and narrow way of righteousness, but the heartaches and headaches of sin are on the crooked way. And so as we begin our journey into 2020, how will we know which way to take? Which way to go? Which way is best? Because God has given us companions for the journey to lead us along the way. Our first companion to lead us along the way is found in Deuteronomy chapter 1. If you would turn there, the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 1. Look at verse 32. The Lord speaking to Israel. He said, yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and fire by night to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. Now God says that it was He who led them through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night. It was He who went before them to search out the best place for them to pitch their tent. Who knows what places they might have chosen that would have been full of dangers and pitfalls, or may not have been a safe haven for them to stay overnight. God said, I went before you. I will lead the way. You see, God Himself leads us, doesn't He? When it was time for the children of Israel to enter into the promised land, before they passed over Jordan, Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. Here it is. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. The children of Israel once again, ready to go into the promised land after they had failed the first time. And yet there was still some fear and still some concern and some intrepidation. And God was careful to tell them, listen, you don't have to be afraid because I'm going with you. Isn't that exciting? Lord, we already know there's giants and there's enemies and there's walled cities. He said, that's right, I'm going with you. If God be for us, who can be against us? So God was helping the children of Israel understand, I am going to lead the way. I'm going out ahead of you. God also promised His presence to us as we travel on our journey. For He has written in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise to the church. See what David writes in Psalm 33. Let's go there. Psalm number 33. And look at verse 18. We're talking about God leading us as we go into the new year. We're not alone. He goes with us. We don't have to be afraid. He's going with us. Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Whatever comes your way, He says, I can deliver you and I can keep you. Death and famine were the two biggest things that people in ancient times had to worry about. And God says, I can handle both of them. And we go into verse 20, He says, Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Now I want you to notice that God's leading here. He says, I will guide you with my eye. He's leading us. But I want you to notice that His leading is contingent upon certain things to be true of the believer. The first one is found in verse 18. We have to have a fear of the Lord. The second thing we find in verse 18 is we have to have hope in God's mercy. The third thing we find is in verse 20, we have to wait upon God's direction. And so we're fearing, we're hoping, we're waiting. And then in verse 21, we're trusting in God. So God's saying, I'll guide you with my eye if you trust me, if you hope in me, if you wait on me, if you fear me, I'll guide you. See, do we? Do we really trust God to guide us through the new year? Or are we going to have to navigate it ourselves and get through all by on our own? If you want God's direction in 2020, you must fear Him, wait upon Him, trust Him, and your hope must be in Him. If we want God to lead us and we trust Him to do so, He will. He's the one that opens the doors. He's the one that closes the doors. He's the one who gives insight and wisdom, and He goes before us to prepare the way when our trust is in Him. And so we have God Himself to guide us through the new year. Let's go to the second thing, Joshua chapter 3, book of Joshua, chapter 3. And we see the second thing that God has provided for us to lead us and direct us as we go along our journey. First of all, it's God Himself. He has promised to go before us. The second thing is found in Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The children of Israel are led by the Word of God, number two, God's Word. We have God Himself as number one. He leads us. Second thing we find here is God's Word. And here's it. The Levites carried the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people to lead them across the Jordan and into the Promised Land. And there was to be about 300 yards between the people and the Ark, so that they could all see the ark out in front, leading the way. And I want you to notice in verse 4, it says they had never traveled this way before. They had no idea what to expect or which direction to take. They're going to do something that they've never been this way before. They didn't know where they were going. You've never been in 2020. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, and 6 months down. You don't have any clue. We're stepping into tomorrow just like they were stepping into the Promised Land. Oh, we know there's certain things out there, you know, but we haven't been that way before. So you know what God said? God said, just follow the ark. Lord, how are we going to know which direction to take? How are we know where to go? He said, just follow the ark. But Lord, there's so many, just follow the ark. Wait, whoa, no, just follow the ark. Now, what was in the ark? Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein, in the ark of the covenant, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. What are the tables of the covenant? The word of God. The word of God that he had given to Moses. Now, if you remember, just for a little side note here, the original tablets were written, according to Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, with the finger of God. That's what it says. You know, you go into these places and you want to pay with a credit card and you put your credit card in and then there's that screen and you write with your finger? Whoever thought that would be possible? God did that way back. Right? Only he didn't have to have a nice little electronic thing. He just took stone tablets and went. He's so powerful. Take your finger along a piece of stone and see what happens. Your finger will wear away, not the stone. Amen? Now, if you also remember, Moses broke those tablets. Remember? And God later replaced them. And what I'm saying to you is when God writes his word, he preserves it. And here they were in the ark. And God said, I want you to follow that ark. Why are we going to? That's where the word of God is. Isn't it? Just follow the word of God. Just follow the word of God. Just follow the tablets. We may not have the originals, but we have the preserved word of God in the King James Bible. Now, we are led by the word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? A light unto my path. Why do you think God would give us a lamp and a light for our feet? Why do you think he would do that? To guide us. When do you need a light? In the darkness. God said, look, it's a dark place you're going to live in down there. And there's a lot of dangerous places and a lot of dangerous people. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you my word that will be like a flashlight to guide you so you can see where you're going in the dark. The world can't see where it's going. They don't have a clue. They're doing what they're doing, and they're fulfilling prophecy at the same time. They're setting everything up according to the Bible, and they don't even know it. Israel was about to launch out into territory unknown where they had not passed heretofore. And what was out in front of them? The word of the covenant. The word of God. And so, my dear friends, God has given us his word to guide us in the new year, hasn't he? He said, just put the word out there. Just follow the word. Whatever the word says, that's what you do. Wherever the word says to go, that's where you go. Whatever the word says don't do, don't do. Whatever the word says don't go, don't go. Whatever the word says to be like that. Whatever the word says don't be like that. And you know what that, you know what'll happen? It'll guide you through life. We can go into 2020 with this book and it'll guide us right through 2020. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 5. He said, yeah, I'm going to send the covenant out, the Ark of the Covenant out in front of you. It has the word of God in it. I want you to follow it. But look what he says in verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Isn't that interesting? He said, sanctify yourselves. That's the Hebrew word kadosh. It means to clean, to be clean morally. He's saying, you know what he's saying? What's he saying? He's saying, you know, you need to get right with God. Confess your sins here and get ready to follow the word of God, to follow God. The word means to dedicate. The word means to sanctify, to consecrate. And so he's saying to the people, he's saying, listen, what's he know? He knows that they're going to follow the word of God. And he says, I want you to clean yourselves up. I want you to consecrate yourselves. I want you to dedicate yourselves. We must confess our sins and dedicate ourselves to following the word of God. You see, if you don't sanctify yourself, you won't follow the word of God. If you don't dedicate yourself and set yourself apart and consecrate yourself, you won't follow the Word of God. So he says, you know what you need to do? He said, if you're going to follow the Word of God, you got to get right with God and stay right with God. Christians are stumbling and bumbling and fumbling through life because they're not sanctified and they're not following the Word of God. Oh, they talk about it and they say they are, but in reality they're not. Why? Because they're not sanctified, not consecrated, they're not dedicated to following the Word of God. We cannot expect to be led by the Word of God if all it is to us is a good luck charm that we carry around with us. Or if we look at the Word of God as something to carry around like a badge of spirituality. When you sanctify yourself and you dedicate yourself to following the Word of God, look what it says in verse 5, the Lord will do wonders among you. What I'm trying to tell you is that God can do things for you never thought He would do. Matter of fact, He can do wonders you can't even figure. He can do something next week, next month, 6 months from now that you had no clue. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, why isn't He? Have you sanctified yourself to follow the Word of God? Are you following the Word of God? You want to get over here somewhere out of the way? There's no wonders over there. There's no great and mighty things over there. But you get over here following the Word of God, guess what? There's wonders over here. There's great and mighty things over here. There's things that you haven't even thought about over here. But you forsake those when we get over here out of the will of God and out of the way of God. We're not sanctified. We're not dedicated to following the Word of God. You know what we do so many times? We dedicate ourselves after we get in trouble. You know, we get in some big jam somewhere. Be some big trouble. Some big need. And all of a sudden we get spiritual. Well, praise the Lord. I guess you can praise the Lord. It does turn you around. But why does that have to be that way? We're led by God Himself, the Bible says. We're led by God's Word. The third thing we're led by is in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. The third thing we're led by, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. And that is, we're led by God Himself. We're led by God's Word. Number three, we're led by God's Spirit. Look what it says, Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The children of God are led by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit leads us with promptings and knowledge and wisdom. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand or when ye turn to the left. And this is the Holy Spirit bringing to your consciousness the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will lead you by the Word. So, God's leading you Himself. He said, I will go before you. Then God says, I want you to follow the Ark. Follow the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant. Follow the Word of God. Now He says, my Holy Spirit will lead you. And thine ears shall hear a word. What do you think the word will be? The word isn't, psst, hey. That's not the word you'll hear. You're going to hear the Word. Huh? While the Holy Spirit brings to your consciousness the Word of God. That's how He leads you. When you start to turn to the left, the Holy Spirit will bring the Word of God to you and say, no, 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 don't go that way. When you want to turn to the right, the Holy Spirit will bring the Word of God and say, no, that's not the way. He'll use scriptures to show you that's not the way to go and that's not the way to go. This is the way. Walk in it. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18 it says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's that leading of the Spirit again. It says, but if ye be led by the Spirit. There are some that like to use this verse to tell us that we do not need to be concerned about the law because we're of the Spirit. So it says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So they'll say, well, I'm not under law, I'm under grace, I can do what I want to do. I'm not under the law. That's not what it's talking about. Think about it for a minute. The Bible says the law is good. Right? So the law tells us what's right. And the law shows us what's wrong. So just because we're saved and under grace doesn't mean we disregard God's law, that it doesn't have any direction for us. Being under the law is living your life under the law, or in other words, trying to keep the law. There are people who live their lives under the burden and oppression and anxiety of trying to keep the law. The law is good. Right? But if you're living your life under the law, trying to please the law, no wonder it's so hard. When you are led of the Spirit, you don't have to be under the stress of whether or not you're keeping the law, because the Spirit will not lead you against the law. You following me? When the Spirit leads me, He never leads me contrary to God's law. So if I'm led of the Spirit, I'm not under the law. I don't have to think about the law, really. I'm not going along thinking, all right, what's the first commandment? What's the second commandment? What's the third? What's the fourth? What's the fifth? I'm not doing all that. I'm just living my life. Because I'm led by the Spirit. And I will live in accordance with God's law without being under God's law, because the Spirit will lead me in the way of righteousness. The law was given to show us sin, and the Spirit never leads us into sin. What leads you into sin? The fleshly, carnal nature. And you know who lives under the law? A fleshly, carnal nature. It's always trying to keep the law. It's always trying to please the law. It's always looking to the law to please God. And it's not the keeping of the law that pleases God. It's having Christ, who fulfilled the law, as your righteousness that pleases God. If you're looking to the law for righteousness, you'll never find it. Christ, who is our righteousness, is the fulfillment of the law. So when I'm being led of the Spirit, I am enjoying and depending upon and looking to the righteousness of Christ. If I'm under the law, I'm looking to the fulfilling of the law for my righteousness. There's no fun over here under the law. But boy, there's freedom over here when Christ is my righteousness and not the law. When we are being led of the Spirit, when we are filled with the Spirit, and then we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When a Christian is led of the Spirit, he or she will walk in harmony with the Word of God. So, we're going into 2020, right? How are we going to know where to go? How are we going to know what decisions to make? How are we know when to go, when to stop? How are we going to know? Well, God Himself leads us. God's Word leads us. God's Spirit leads us. Number 4, Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. Look what God says. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. God's angels. lead us. Now, the word angel in the scripture is very interesting, and it's used to describe different things. The word angel in the Hebrew is malak, means a messenger, and the word angel in the New Testament is angelos, also means messenger, and it can refer to a class of created beings called angels. We all know about angels, right? There's Michael the angel, there's Gabriel, right? And so we have these angels. We read about angels in the Old Testament, read about angels in the New Testament. They are created beings that God uses as messengers. They do His bidding. And sometimes there were angels referring to them. It can also refer to the appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. We see the pre-incarnate Christ appearing in the Old Testament, and He's called the angel of the Lord or the angel of Jehovah. It can also refer to priests and prophets of the Old Testament. What's the word angel mean? Messenger. Malachi 3:1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." The messenger he's talking about here is John the Baptist. "I will send my messenger before him." The word messenger means angel. The word angel means messenger. The prophets and priests of the Old Testament were messengers of God to the people. Jeremiah 3:15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now, he's not talking about New Testament pastors here. The word pastor means an under-shepherd. He's saying, "I'm going to give you prophets and priests, and they are going to be the under-shepherds that will lead you." That was their job, their calling. Sometimes it refers to God Himself, the word angel. Look with me in Exodus chapter 3. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Well, let's begin at verse 1 so we get the whole concept here. Exodus chapter 3. Now, hear the word angels referring to God. "Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." And here it is, verse 2. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now, what's appearing in the bush? Tell me. Fire, but it says it is an what? It's an angel. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him." And Moses said in verse 3, "I'll turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." Now look at verse 4. "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush." Now who's in the midst of the bush? The fire. And the fire is called an angel. But when the angel speaks, it's God. So sometimes it refers to God. The word angel also refers to New Testament pastors. We find that in the book of Revelation in both chapters 2 and 3, where the seven letters of the churches were written to the angel of the church. If you look at that, all those seven letters begin, "To the angel of the church of," 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 "To the angel of the church of." Now you can say, "Well, I think that talks about a special guardian angel of that church." Yeah, but when you read it, well, let's go there. We'll just go there real quick. I didn't want to go there, but we'll just go there real quick. Revelation chapter 2. I thought about this later, so let's just do it. Okay, under the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith the Lord, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden..." I know thy what? Now who's he writing to? Writing to the angel. But then he says, "I know thy works." And whose works does he talk about? The works of the church. Thy works. And so, the angels here, what does the word angel mean? messenger. So he's talking to the messengers of the church. Who's the messenger of the church? The pastor. The pastor's, what am I preaching right now? I'm preaching a message. So here's a message from God. It's a message from God's Word. Pastors are the messengers, just like prophets and priests were the messengers to the Old Testament Israel. The pastors are the messengers to the New Testament church. Their job was to take the Word of God and to make sense of it and bring it to the people. And today, the pastor's job is to do the same thing to the church. Remember what Jeremiah said? I will give you pastors according to mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Ephesians 4:11 and 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The New Testament pastors and preachers are messengers bringing the Word of God to the people. God has not left us to ourselves. Aren't you glad? He does not expect us to navigate the complex world with all of its philosophies and religion and all of its politics and deceptions and lies without His help and guidance. Isn't that awesome? God looks at this world and He says, it's a mess and you'll never make it through. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go before you myself and prepare a way. I've given you my word as a lamp under your feet and a light under your path to lead you in the way. I've given you my spirit to lead you. And I've given you my messengers to lead you. He wants us to live godly and soberly and righteously in this present world. He wants us to be successful. Now let me say this. He wants you to be successful as a Christian. He wants you to be successful as a man or a woman or a teenager or a child. He wants you to be successful as a husband. He wants you to be successful as a wife. He wants you to be successful as a child of a parent. He wants you to be successful at work. He wants you to be successful in your finances. He wants you to be successful in your investments. He wants you to be successful in every single area of your life. And He said, I've given you all this that the world doesn't have. So you can be successful because I'm going to lead you through the wilderness of this world. Isn't that exciting? And you know what? Maybe you'll never have what they have or what that person has, but if you have what God has for you, you're happy. You're happy. The Bible says we should learn in whatsoever state we are, therewith to be content. God is so good. He's saying to us tonight, you're going into 2020? I got it covered. I've been there and back. I know the way. And I'm going to show you which way to go. And when you come to a time when you have to make a choice, you'll hear that still small voice. When there's a time to make a direction, you'll find a direction in the Word. When there's time, I'll be there. Trust me. Sanctify yourself. Dedicate yourself to following God and His Word. He's given us all these things that we might be capable in making the right decisions and choices along the way of life so that we might be blessed and confident and assured that this is the way, walk in it. God will guide you through the new year if you want Him to and if you're willing to follow. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And as we think about these things, let me ask you, dear Christian, are you willing to dedicate yourself to following the leading of the Lord through His Word, His messengers, and His Spirit in 2020? Are you willing to start a new year and say, Lord, I want to follow closer than I ever followed before? I want to serve better than I ever served before. I want to love you more than I ever loved you. I want to obey you more than I've ever obeyed you. And I want to trust you more than I've ever trusted you. Maybe tonight you need to come and say, Lord, here am I. Lead me, as David said, lead me in thy righteousness. Lead me in thy straight path. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved, or maybe you're watching or listening tonight and you've never been saved. You need to get saved in 2019 so that you can have the leading and prosperity of God in 2020. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, that's the best thing you can do on the last day of the year. And then you can rejoice tomorrow on the first day of the year. If there's anyone here tonight that needs to be saved, I want you to lift your hand up and say, Preacher, I need to trust Christ and I want to do it right now. I don't want to let this year end without having Jesus as my Savior. If you're watching or listening, you need to stop whatever you're doing. I don't care what it is, just stop. I want you to bow your head. I want you to confess to God that you're a sinner, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Christ of God, the Savior of the world, God in the flesh, and that He died and shed His blood on the cross to pay for your sin, that He was buried and rose again so that you could be saved. Now ask Him to forgive your sins and be your Savior right now. Trust Him. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, thank you that you go with us. We're never alone. We're never at a loss. We're never at the mercy of anybody except you. Father, would you help us to believe this, and as we learned to trust you and to hope in you, and that we might fear you and that we might wait upon you and we might trust you. Help us, Lord, that 2020 might be the closest we've ever been. Father, I just pray you'd guide and direct the invitation as only you can. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 292. 292. Nothing between. If there's anything between you and the Lord, this would be a good night to take it out. Bring it to the altar tonight and say, Lord, I don't want this in the way as I go into 2020. Lord, here's something I just want to get out of the way before the new year starts. Maybe there's something that you know God's been prompting you about, leading you in. You've been resisting. You've been holding back. Maybe tonight you'd like to come and say, Lord, I don't want to resist you anymore. I don't want to hold back anymore. I'm doing it. You're going with me. I'm going to do it by your grace. Be strong and of a good courage, he said, for it is I that doth go with thee. Trust him. Something you're not trusting him about? Come on. Something you're not trusting him with? Come on. As we sing on the first.